You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
My favorite. It's Judd's Hockey Show.
It is Judd's Hockey Show. It's Judd, it's Declan, as always. And Jesse Pierce, after a couple of weeks away from the show, rejoins us too. Of course, Bar Down Beauty's fame. And you can find her written work, NHL.com, does a fantastic job covering the Wild. Is at a lot of the functions, obviously. And Jesse, we are 1 week from today. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. We are going to have players on the ice for training camp. How excited are you? We have basically gotten through the entire offseason.
I mean, shout out to Billy G for letting us enjoy our summer appropriately here in Minnesota by not giving us a whole lot to do, not a lot to follow. But I'm ready for hockey to get back. As you'd mentioned, Judd, next week training camp opens up at TRIA. They've been having captain's practice for the past couple weeks, so guys have been floating in. They're moving about. They're back in the Twin Cities because hockey is just around the corner. Cannot wait, boys.
Amen. And the thing, too, is I think Billy G didn't want to do this. This is a result of no cap room, right? So, like, if Billy G had his druthers, guys, I think we all would have had far more content. By the way, on the podcast side, never mind content. Like, that's nice. But yes, Jesse, for breaking news purposes, this is probably as easy of off season as you guys are going to get. Because I would imagine once Billy G starts to throttle back up a little bit, you're going to see quite a few moves made in the summertime.
I'd agree. I mean, I only got caught on my paddleboard once with breaking news when they signed Philip Gustafson. Made it work from the lake.
Of course you
but
did.
Yeah, I know, right? Just
you're a mom.
Committed.
You're incredible. Like, dedicated. You're everywhere. You're covering the
that
news.
That was my me time, and I had to go talk to Bill Guerin and Philip Gustafson. But
I was going to say, though, don't get too comfortable, because this will be the same song and dance one more summer this time next year. So we're going to be same thing.
And I think this season there might be some moves. It's not going to be as active come trade deadline, but I think Billy G is going to try to make the team as good as he can, even before the All-Star break, before January comes around, because we've seen Minnesota the past few years kind of have that weird stretch in January and February where they're not performing as well, which makes him very active come trade deadline. But I could see if things are not going his way the first couple months, guys might be out of there. We'll see. Ooh. Again, still handcuffed to what he could do, but why not?
Thanksgiving Eve trades. That's what she's saying. If they're not playing well, it's like you'll be enjoying a turkey at the Marriott in Detroit because you've been traded to the Red Wings. So we have the training camp preview to talk about. Also, the Wild has a rookie camp and some games actually coming up. The Blues in town, the Blackhawks, and some very exciting news to get to off of that. But before we do that, I want to talk about our friends. And as always, we appreciate them. Power Lodge and Miller Marine. You know, as lake season throttles down, trust the world's largest Bennington dealer, Miller Marine and Power Lodge, to protect your passion. Call today about their limited time winterization specials, offering free storage with the purchase of a new boat. Get that. Get double the value if that new boat is a luxurious Bennington with unbeatable employing pricing stacked on top of rebates. Best time of the year to buy is right now. There's nothing wrong with fall water on the lakes with beautiful color change cruises. Look at that. Even as we transition to fall, guess what? A Bennington is where it's at. Thanks again to our friends at Power Lodge and Miller Marine. All right, I want to get to the thing that I am geeked out the most about, and I am considering actually Saturday night going to TRIA to watch this. Blues Blackhawks rookie camp game. Connor Bedard is going to take part. Is that correct? And how excited are we as hockey fans that this kid, because this kid's special, is actually going to be on the ice in St. Paul this weekend?
Yeah, kind of wild. No pun intended, maybe a little pun intended, but Minnesota hosting.
It's hard not to do that sometimes.
It's hard not to do it.
Like, hosting, it's not a pun, but it just comes out.
The Tom Curver's Prospect tournament this weekend at TRIA, as you mentioned. Connor Bedard said he wants to be a part of this, told Michael Russo during their NHL media days in Vegas that He wants to be treated like other prospects. The thing is, Connor, you're not like other prospects. Like, there's a lot on your shoulders. You are a franchise player. You are an elite of the elite. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw New Jersey Devils are keeping Luke Hughes, yes, one of the Hughes brothers, out from their prospect tournament to keep him ready for training camp, to keep him ready heading into the preseason. So it's a little surprising because Chicago certainly isn't getting a cut of this revenue, I don't believe, from the tournament either. So for people wanting to see Connor Bedard, sounds like he will play Saturday, likely will not play against the Wild when they play the Blackhawks on Sunday. He will probably only do one of those two games, which, again, you got to protect this kid, put him in a bubble. We've all seen things, not just in hockey and other sports, but it can happen. But still, amazing. If you can get out on Saturday to see him, even just take a shift or two, remarkable player. All the clips that you have seen, I think, will speak even truer with your own two eyes in person.
Jess, are we going to, you know, forget Connor Bedard? Are we going to see Charlie Strammel? I mean, that's the one the Wild fans need to see, right? I mean, everyone said they reached for him. are we going to be able to see Charlie Strammel go toe to toe with Connor Bedard?
How about Jesper Velsted? Maybe he's your goalie, the goalie of the future. Let's focus on him, right? No, I think the two big names you can focus on as Wild fans in the prospects tournament will be Jesper. He is playing. Again, he'll do one of those two games either Friday or Sunday when the Wild host St. Louis and Chicago, respectively. And Sammy Walker, a guy that is going to head into training camp vying for a spot. There is an opening for him if he performs well. He obviously knows what it takes. Those are the two guys that you want to talk about. But Charlie Strammel, sure. Let's see what he can do. Let's see what anybody can do against Connor Bedard and the rest of these prospects, right?
So you expect that Bedard will play in one of the two games, but we don't know for sure that it's going to be the Saturday game, or are we pretty sure it's going to be against the Blues on Saturday? The Blues prospects, I should say.
My gut says Saturday, but in discussions kind of yesterday floating around at the rink when the Wild prospects were on the ice for their first group practice, it sounds like Connor will play in just one of two. Very unlikely he would play in both, and I think that Saturday night tilt against St. Louis might be the one, which, bummer for Wild fans. I know that Sunday afternoon game went like that, especially with no Vikings game going on. But we'll see. We don't know. We don't know. But he will be in St. Paul, so maybe he'll be checking out the city. I don't know.
Probably not.
He can't drink yet. He's just a mere child. There's things to do other than drinking in downtown St. Paul.
Although Connor Bedard called me and said, "Sports Dad, here's the deal. I got a thirst for some beer. Am I really going to say no? Connor, I mean, can't bring you any Surly. No, you're too young."
You know, why not?
Wouldn't be the first time Judd served someone underage. Not that
that's
he's
not
on the record
true.
For
I've
that.
Never, I've never bought beer for kids. I've never bought beer for kids because why would I? Like, what's the incentive? I can just get in trouble for that. I'm not going to do that.
Jess, I'm guessing too. You're obviously you were around Dean and Bill. Were they also at this little interview and stuff going in? What intel have you gathered from them going into this weekend and also at the end of this offseason?
I mean, the biggest intel I learned is that Dean Evson doesn't drink beer while he golfs. Bill Guerin does, in case that was a surprise to anybody. That was kind of our big conversation. No, those guys were hanging out along ringside during that first practice that happened again yesterday, Wednesday. They skated for over an hour, which I thought was kind of crazy. Like, they'll have a morning skate tomorrow, but they definitely were working on a lot of stuff with these kids because obviously Bill Guerin is a guy that wants to win. He wants his prospects to win. We've heard how highly touted the prospects are in the Minnesota Wild organization. So they're going to go out there, guns a-blazing. Bill did speak to media after practice was over yesterday and kind of mentioned again what we've all heard time and time again. They're not rushing any one of these guys. He wants them to develop at their own pace. He wants to see what they have. Ultimately, it's just a good way to showcase what talent Minnesota has coming up. And, you know, he's just moving forward. I did ask Liam Ogren. I don't know if you guys saw it was reported earlier this week that he was injured. Bill didn't have any further indication on his severity or what that looks like. Didn't look great. Bill seemed slightly annoyed, which sometimes he is with me anyway with my questions. But he was like, "I don't know. There's no update." I was like, OK, so it just didn't feel right. But that's kind
upper
of all
body,
I really got.
Lower body? What do we think?
I thought lower body. But again, don't quote me on that. I don't read Swedish very well. So.
Well, that's not good.
Same.
No.
So, like, on the ice, working out, what do we...
Over there, they started games. Like, they started kind of working themselves into games. So it was in-game situation, and he got hurt, which, again, goes back to Connor Bedard coming here and playing, right?
If I was a Blackhawks fan, I'd be pissed off.
Yeah. It's very head scratching. Like I said, if this were because why not have him start his career as a Blackhawk in that first preseason game? Get your fanfare, get all the tickets collected, everything like that. Like I said, I don't think there's a revenue share because it's going to be here, but.
And yeah. I don't want him competing against guys who are basically trying to make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he's going against pros, it's going to be tough. I'm not saying it's not, and I'm not saying that he's not going to get hit. He definitely will. But if you're going in a prospects tournament, there's a lot of kids who are going to be looking to make a mark. And I got the one of the great young talents. So I'm Team Jesse here. I definitely see your side. So among the things that we're going to see on Thursday a week from today, when training camp opens, do we think everybody is healthy at this point? Like coming off, Eck got hurt, obviously, tried to play in that one playoff game. It was a disaster. He just couldn't play. Hartman was hurt. As far as we know, and I know that Billy is not exactly an open book on this stuff, and Dean definitely is not. Do we think that everyone's going to show up for camp pretty healthy?
I think so. And that's maybe just me putting a little bit of extra blind faith into Bill Guerin when he speaks to me, because, why not? I like to have him on my good side. But no, I do. I think the surgery for Eric's neck happened so quickly after the injury that sure. gave him enough time to rebuild. I've seen little workout videos from the guys. Everybody seems to be attending the captain's practice, as we mentioned, at Tria. So I think everybody should be close to 100%, if not 100%. Again, given there are no nagging little bruises and bumps, but nothing that should keep anybody out from training camp or from the start of preseason, in my humble opinion.
Jess, what's your opinion of Ryan Hartman here, this ifto de facto number one center between Kaprizov and Zuccarello? Had the 30-goal campaign a few years ago, then he battled injuries last year. Do you still think there's a legit offensive player in there, or do you think he's more of the guy we've seen on the outliers of that one season where he scored 30 goals?
I think that's a great question. I think it's probably more the latter. He's kind of going to have to go back to maybe that grinding, gritty fourth line role that we expected him to be. There's nothing wrong with that. Every team needs a player like Ryan Hartman, but I think it's his position to lose as that number one center, because as we've all discussed, Marco Rossi is coming in and he's going to be hungry for that as well. And he's a younger bit of talent, a more skilled piece of talent than Ryan Hartman. So he deserves that look. He deserves to do that. Now, again, as we've all discussed before as well, Dean loves his veteran players and he loves knowing what works. So that will give Ryan Hartman that upper edge. But I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Hartsy to come back in and be the player we saw 2 years ago, where we all fawned and oohed and aahed over him. I just don't know that it is still there. And again, because it seems like it was such an anomaly, that is not the type of player I expected him to be. Similar with Marcus Foligno, right? I never expected him to be this goal scorer. So I don't want to expect it.
You were trying to trade him, and then had him as a guest on your podcast like 2 weeks ago. And I hope he knew about you trying to trade him.
He was a little less jovial than he normally is with me. So he possibly had an inkling, but it was not out of malicious intent.
I know.
Guys. It was,
I'm not,
it's a business.
You.
This is a business. We need to make moves. Yep. That would be my move.
So here's my thing about Hartman and Rossi, and I'm going to tie Eriksson Ek in as well. Okay. With the grief line now officially dead, can't be put back together, Jordan's gone. When training camp starts, what would be the harm? And I know it didn't work last time, but partially doesn't work because Dean pulls the plug so quickly. What would be the harm in Eriksson Ek being the first line center right now? Because to me, he's your best pivot, because we don't know. Like Hartman's definitely not your best. And if you want to make a case that, Rossi should be a two or a three and shouldn't have the pressure of playing with Zuccarello and Kaprizov, I guess I can hear that. I'd like to see him get a chance, but I can hear that. But Eriksson Ek is clearly, when healthy, your best center that you have. What would be the harm, or what's the problem with saying, you know what, we're going to give this a shot from day one of camp, and the first time it doesn't look great, I'm not going to blow up that line? Because that, it felt to me like Ek got that chance, but it was like so quickly, oh, this doesn't work. The grief line works. Let's go back to the grief line. Because this is one of my frustrations with Dean. I think Eriksson Ek deserves, like, of everybody on that team, I think if you're going to say, okay, who should be with our two most and one most dynamic player, I think Eriksson Ek deserves that chance. Is that crazy at this point?
No, and I think you're right. You have to give it more of a chance, which, again, we could say the same thing about a number of different line combinations. You need to do it for more than a shift. You need to do it for more than even a period. I mean, I don't think we've seen enough to gauge what that looks like. I love Joel Eriksson Ek with that top line because he brings that size too. Not to say that Kirill Kaprizov is afraid to not use his body, but obviously we all know what Eriksson Ek brings with that physical component, especially down low, which again, Kirill does a fantastic job, but just to give somebody else down there to screen and let Kirill get fancy with it, not force him to be down there. And again, Ryan Hartman plays that role just fine there as well, but I would absolutely love to see that. I would love to see that more than the Marco Rossi move that everybody really wants. I think Marco needs to get settled in. We've seen the past couple seasons as he's trying, he just can't find his way. And I think that's too much pressure to put on him to say, hey, you're now this number one center. I think put him in the third line, maybe move him into a second line situation once or twice, but I would love Joel Eriksson Ek to get a solid good look, as you'd mentioned, Judd.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Just percentage chance that Marco Rossi does make this team, just off the top of your head.
89%, because I'm not willing to go further, just because, again, I want to put my faith in this. I want to say, yes, he was that true number nine overall. I have not seen enough, even throughout the practices, even throughout camp, that have me just wowed and absolutely floored. Kirill Kaprizov, when he came into camp that first year, oh my gosh, yes, this is everything. I don't get that from Marco. I just have not seen enough to say, yep, you're a guaranteed spot. Now, obviously, the whole Wild brass not only wants it to work, needs it to work, so they don't get egg on their face, right? So they're going to give him every opportunity, which is why I put that percentage so high. But again, every other guy wants to fight for that spot. Sammy Walker, as I mentioned earlier, he's going to be coming and guns a-blazing trying to earn his way onto that forward roster. So it's not a given. Nothing is given, as Bill Guerin has always told us, but I think he will get a couple more chips in his basket, if you will, to make that. So it's probably very likely, very probable, but it's not a guarantee.
On the 11% chance that he does not, at what point do we consider this a disaster? Like at some point in time, because we're always going to hear, well, I mean, it took Eriksson Ek, you know, a few years to develop. We all thought, how could you pass on Brock Besser? And now Ek looks like a damn good player. Okay, that's fine. But at some point in time, I think we're to the point of, like, if he does not make this team and does not play a role, I'm not saying he has to be a star, but play an important role, you got to start to say this might not work ever then, because he's not that young now. I mean, as far as hockey players go. And the reality is he has moved the needle, other than in the preseason last year, such a small amount that I think the time for, I think if he doesn't make the team or plays a very small role, the time for allowing that this might work is going to have to probably be gone.
Yeah, I would get him out by November at the very latest. If he doesn't make, I think you let him quote unquote make it, showcase him for a game or two, and then look to move and trade him while he still has value. I've said this, I think, since going back to last year, like, and they know it's no, there's no hiding it. They will know in camp whether he is going to be the Joel Eriksson Ek component, or if he's going to be maybe the Jordan Greenway or Charlie Coyle kind of flame out situation a little
James
bit.
Shepard. Forget Joe. That. He's James Shepard at this point. Oof, like, Greenway gave you something. This kid's given you nothing. He's James Shepard. He's going to go to the Sharks for like a bag of pucks.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, he's I used to love James Shepard too, by the way. I just thought he was cute. I'll be honest with you. I just thought he was darn good looking kid. But no, I think with Marco Rossi, you can't bury him down in the AHL. He's not, I mean, get something for him, get anything for him, especially when you are get cash for him, get a little bit back. You know what I mean? Just a duffel bag full of money would be fine. But yeah, you'd have to make that move early on in the season before teams get wise to knowing, why didn't this work? Is he really not the caliber player we thought?
Jess, we get closer to the actual training camp and preseason. Are there any other players that you are looking to watch or guys that'll kind of be the darling of camp? A few years ago, it was Adam Beckman. This year, there's some others that aren't just named Marco Rossi. Is there anyone on your radar you're looking to kind of make a big push or a big showing at this year's training camp?
I mean, Damien Giroux has always kind of been up there. He performs really, really well at camp. He usually is one of the last quote-unquote cuts. That is always kind of intriguing to me. Also, I'm just excited. I know we've penciled in, if not inked in, Brock Faber, but I'm excited to see what he does at his first training camp. I mean, it's a big moment for him. I know that he is going to be an impact player, and again, he is likely going to make the team. I'd give his percentage like a 97%, but I'm just excited to see how he handles himself during training camp. He's done plenty of development camps. He did development camp this summer again, but just to see a little bit of that further hunger after he got that taste last year, I think he's going to be good. As far as Darlings, though, no, I don't think anybody else is really going to make the team, as far as I'm aware.
That's what I was going to say. How many jobs are, like, open? Like, how many jobs? It seems like it's very few.
Yeah. I think you got two. You got a forward position open for sure and a defensive position open for sure, and that's about it.
Speaking of defensemen, what is up with Kalen? So Addison is still, so he has still not been signed. Is that
correct?
Right? What are we doing here?
I have no idea. And I'm not sure how that all works, right? Cause he's still around. He's still working out with the team. He's still doing this.
I've seen pictures.
And I dropped the ball by not asking Bill about it yesterday. Now, granted, yesterday was all about prospects and I tried to keep it kind of in that lane, but that's the first thing I'm going to ask him come Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Cause I'm just very curious as to, what's going on? How does that work? Because he has to be signed in order to come to camp, to my understanding.
And he can't leave. Like, he's got, right. he can't sign elsewhere.
Right.
So it's a very weird, I guess my problem too is, I think we're all fairly convinced Dean doesn't trust him either.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like all of these components and I dismiss it except for one thing. As far as I know, he's your top power play guy.
Yeah.
Defenseman. He runs power play
only, right? Like, especially with Dumba out, he's the guy. I mean, Jarrett Spurgeon obviously can do that as well to an extent, and they love Goligoski up there running point once in a while. But yeah, it's a very odd situation. The way it just kept getting pushed off and pushed off. Like, I think Kalen will take league minimum, but do you put him on a two way? Can you put him on a two way? Like, what is all of that? Right? Like, it's just kind of very, very bizarre,
Your dog's pissed off too. Your dog's mad.
There's probably an awesome Amazon package waiting for me when we're done with this.
That happened to me yesterday. You know what? You mentioned Goose and my head started to hurt.
Yeah.
Alex is a great guy, I'm sure. Right, Declan? Great guy. Great kid. Yeah. Great guy. Yeah. But what are we doing here?
Yeah, the whole thing is very strange to me. I mean, with Kalen Addison, I mean, Jess says, if Rossi isn't making dividends or making his money worth by mid-October, November, that you trade him. I mean, is Kalen Addison going to be traded before even the season starts at this point? Like, are you just going to trade his rights? Are you going to, it hasn't worked at all, which is very bizarre. Guerin knows him from Pittsburgh, and I would say in general, it hasn't been a fit here, and I'm not sure why.
But why wait? Like, that's the other kind of question. Like, why not have, is there that few teams interested in anything? Like, it just, to have it get to this point and have no news or no update. I mean, every kind of time we spoke with Bill throughout the course of the offseason, it was like, yep, I've had talks with Kalen. Yep, we're going to, it sounded like things were moving forward. It just, there's been no signature on the dotted line, which from both ends seems very, very odd.
So to go back to Declan's question too, Jess, about training camp darlings, I've got a hypothetical to run past you. And I, just to be very clear, I don't think this guy's going to make the team, but I do think that he could be a training camp preseason darling. And that's the goaltender, Wallstedt. In just the fact that he's going to get a chance to make an impression here again. And we all know that he's almost certainly tracking to be this team's, if not one, a really strong 1B in 2024-25. How important do you think this camp is for him? Because I'm not entirely convinced he should spend the entire 2023-24 season in Iowa. I think they'd like that. But I also think with the expectations put on him that this is going to be a really interesting opportunity to make a really, really good impression in this camp.
Yeah, I mean, I like the kid. Every time we've spoken with him, he's very honest at his own criticisms and everything. Like, I just like, he's got a good head on his shoulders. The biggest thing for him coming over, it's just his second year on that North American sheet. He even acknowledged it yesterday when I asked him. I said, how has that transition coming along, especially given we all know he started out very slow last year, because going from such a big sheet of ice to the NHL size rink is incredibly hard, especially for goaltenders and their peripherals and the way that they slide and move.
Yep.
He said he back, he went over to back home to Sweden this summer. And so it was back on the big sheet, but he had Freddie Chabot come over there and help work with him and some of the Wild coaching staff. So obviously they know that they want to get this kid as ready, but I don't know that you really see a lot of him. I think he won't even be a first recall for the Wild should one of the two goaltenders in Marc-Andre Fleury or Philip Gustafson go down, because they're so adamant on making sure he is 120% ready to go next year. He is the guy next year, without question. Again, maybe a game or two, but it's still, yeah, I mean, it's still going to be a big training camp for him. I mean, he still gets to kind of showcase. He gets to learn a little bit from Marc-Andre Fleury and Gus as well, and just kind of take that next step. But I think he is going to be the go-to guy in the American Hockey League for Iowa next year and really show his gruff down there before we get to see a whole lot of him in St. Paul.
Jess, any other final notes from the rink, from the golf course? Any other things left in, yeah, the, in, golf in the back cart here on Judd's Hockey Show?
The Your golf course going. Is great. I am selling up a storm. I've implemented new trivia questions for my sports nice. Fans. It's been so much fun. I do love it. That's because it hasn't gotten too cold on me yet. No, I mean, other than that, it should be a really fun weekend. The Tom Curvers prospect showcase obviously honors a great man in Tom Curvers, who passed away from cancer too early. Fantastic logo. Go check it out, Etria. There are still random tickets floating around there if you guys find the need to go. Don't bet on finding Connor Bedard there, but maybe you'll catch a glimpse of him on the ice. We'll see. But ultimately, I'm just excited, boys, for hockey to be back again. We got camp, preseason, and
we're
before
talking
we
hockey
know
right
it,
now, which yeah. is great. We're actually talking
like
about
real hockey, tangible
instead of like lists.
Yeah, exactly. It's something. It's good content, as they say. Content is king. We finally have some content a little bit.
Awesome stuff, Jesse. Again, check Jesse Pierce's stuff out, Bar Down Beauties, and also NHL.com. She covers the Wild, does a fantastic job there. Declan, I think we're done here.
Yeah, hit the subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. We got Vikings event line, obviously, tonight as well. We're recording this on Thursday, so go check out that with the Vikings in Philadelphia. Say a prayer and pass, shoot, score.